Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hello and welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid, and you know what that means. I am joined by my friendo, KC Bubba. You can find him on the Twitter, at BDNTrick, host of 8 Million Podcast. KC, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend, not much. We got playoff football, we got baseball, so much great stuff. It is great to be on the show once again this week. How are we doing, my friend?
It's great. I am disappointed that the Steelers obviously didn't make the playoffs, but it was turn the page time to the Diamondbacks immediately.
Wait. I totally buried the lead. Everything we talked about, I totally forgot. Last weekend's Miami Dolphins Super Bowl is amazing. I don't know who watched that game, but I tweeted it like 4 days in a row, and people still are bitter about it. That why everyone was complaining about, you know, the war in Iran and other things. I said, just look at Fitzpatrick to Gesicki with 24 seconds left and realize the Dolphins just eliminated the Patriots from having a bye week. And those old farts in New England have to go play this weekend. And how giddy I am inside thinking Mr. Fitzmagic is jumping around. Did you see him carrying guys on his back off the field? It was like Christmas Day came late for me.
How is it that the Dolphins, regardless of how bad they are every single year, they were 25% of the Patriots' losses this year, you know.
They're in their head. We own real estate in Tom Brady's dome. Just realize that. Real estate.
Yeah.
When Tom Brady's with Giselle, we're there too.
I don't know. Giselle's very hot, but I don't think she's as hot as people make her out to be. She's okay. So
you'd say no?
No, are you kidding me? I wouldn't say no to much at this point. So I'm just saying, you know, hype machine. You know, I follow plenty of beautiful women on Instagram.
You yes,
as you
do.
Know, I've given you some suggestions.
We,
here
we
and
become
there.
quite friends there. Yes,
right.
We have.
Right, exactly. So, you know, she just wouldn't be on that short list. That's all, you know. But would I say no? Absolutely not. You know, the saying goes, beggars can't be choosers.
That is true, my friend.
And I'm
true.
Definitely there right now. I'm not above begging. So.
I have other phrases that aren't allowed on this show, but they've been rules I've lived by. When I used to work as a shop person for an oil rigging company because I was too young to be on the oil rig. So I learned a lot of great phrases when I was like 12 years old.
Yeah, my uncle.
Let's just put it that way.
My uncle's a contractor, and I learned all kinds of colorful
you
language.
Them too.
Right, that I don't that I didn't know existed.
They're colorful yet true.
Oh, yeah. And just many, many things that you would be canceled for saying right now. So, the NFL season is over. And I did the tally. So you had a couple weeks ago said, man, I need to know what I am for the regular season. Well, before we get to the full tally, you had your best week of the season, week 17.
You're welcome, listeners. You're welcome.
14-2. If you guys are listening to Bubba, you made money this weekend. 14-2 against the spread. 14-2 on the over-unders, and you were 10 over on the props, 29-19, your best week by far. You finished the season over 500 against the spread and on the over-unders, 132-106 against the spread, 124-114 on the over-unders, and 341-358 on the props. But you got, I guarantee you, if I went from week 9 to week 17, that'd be well over 500. You got better as the year went on as far as the props go. So outstanding year for you. And I was really good on the over-unders for the entire year. But
yeah, hey, don't slight yourself. You're very good.
Oh, trust me. I've already talked about it on the previous hours. 142-96, almost 60% winning percentage. But let me tell you what aggravated me about doing so well this week, because before I tallied yours up, I tallied mine up. I was like, damn, I was 12-4 against the spread this week, 14-2 on the over-unders. And then I did yours and I was like, oh man, he was even better than me. So, but I went 12-4 on this week 17 that literally didn't matter to me at all, even a little bit. And the one where I could have won $5,000, I go 3-13 or whatever it was. So, yeah, it's just it's the nature of the beast. It's what happens. It's Murphy's Law. It's whatever you want to say. Of course, it happened that way.
Well, Scott, we talked about it last week. We said this is the week that Vegas hates. They hate week one, they hate week 17 because anything can happen. And even idiots like us figured it out.
Apparently.
I'd rather bet week 17 than week one any day, because you and I both at least know where teams are thinking, trying to think. And so we weren't just throwing, poop at the wall. We were making educated guesses at this, and by no means did I think 14-2 was happening, but I felt good about I felt good about them every week. Stuff happens, but this was a good week. 12-4 for you, 14-2 for me. Those are both phenomenal, and what you did over-unders this year, that's darn impressive, especially in the way we saw football played this year, where this craziness happened all the time. I'm just happy to be over 50% on some of these. To do what you did was freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, it was fun. Of course, that is just giving out the numbers and not betting because I live in Arizona. So, of course, it would be illegal for me to bet. So I never bet on anything, specifically fantasy sports, of course. So
God forbid you do anything illegal.
Right. I mean, it's always better to do it the right way, of course. But speaking of beggars can't be choosers, I don't have any money to bet anyway. So it's not like it would have mattered. But what was your the regular season came to a close. What was your biggest takeaway from the 2019 NFL season?
I guess the biggest takeaway would be, you saw Lamar Jackson actually worked going into the year. I was hesitant because we've seen every kind of, it feels bad to say it now because I don't feel this way, but going into the season, every kind of fluky quarterback never really worked out. Obviously, watching Lamar now is a different thing. I'm not going to be stupid about that. He's very, very good. I'm still worried. It just takes one or two hits and it changes everything. But watching him, he avoids those hits. So I like what Lamar's doing. What CMC did was amazing. We saw career defining seasons from Lamar, CMC, and Michael Thomas. I think it was actually your guys' show where you mentioned that if you had those three guys on a team, you guys are just running away with the league. They might have been the Black Book or something. And it was crazy to see the way the league turned. The last thing before I just keep talking like a bunch of nonsense, it was good. I forgot who tweeted it out, but we've seen every year, there's a couple elite running backs and a lot of committees who've seen fewer and fewer running backs get all the touches. We're back to this year. We saw 9 or 10 running backs getting, I think, over 350 touches, give or take, which is like an elite, percentage of touches. So it wasn't just, I think the recent years you're seeing fours and fives. That 9 makes a big difference going into the draft season next year.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it so that there's it makes it difficult when you think about it, really, because is it you really need to overhype those 9 guys, or is it, hey, there's 9 of them now instead of 4. So it's OK to lay off the running backs. It's kind of like in baseball drafts where you're going, well, everybody hits for power now. I can get a power guy late in the draft. Well, you kind of need to keep pace now because everybody has power. So,
well, it's why I like doing DFS and season long, because doing DFS the whole way, I realized that this year paying up for running back was so important because those elite guys were getting touches. Right. Where in years past, you could save money. Same thing goes, like you talk about in baseball, you have those elite pitchers here or big power hitters there. You can see things watching, you know, playing daily leagues, whatever. It doesn't have to be DFS. But you can see that the system's changing. Year to year, we see a different way the game is changing. And if you're playing daily sports or you're playing daily move leagues and season long for baseball, you can get a better grasp on how a lot of this works.
Right, exactly. So I can't do DFS either because of my dumb state. But
I want to retire in Arizona, and I keep listening to you talk about it. It's really, really worrying me.
Well, look.
Well, by the time I retire in Arizona, those laws better have changed.
Right. Yeah. I mean, come on. You're young. So
I got a good 25 years, I hope, before I go over there.
Right, exactly.
If I make it that far.
Well, you and me both, brother. So, I mean, all I know is you'll be out here at the end of this month. That's all I care about.
Yes, I got my no one cares, but hey, we'll talk about it on the show. I got my email today confirming my flight arrangements for the end of this month. So we will be there, my friend. Me, you, all the food.
Whataburger. Yeah, a lot of Whataburger.
Whataburger, Chick-fil-A, whatever you want.
Yeah, that's right. You haven't had the Chick-fil-A.
You get to pop my Chick-fil-A cherry.
I am excited. And I get a free meal, too, because the Raiders suck.
Yes, so. That's right. I owe you because of that. Remember, I told you I'd buy it in person in Arizona.
Oh, don't think I forget. Vlad Sedler still owes me a beer from First Pitch. So don't think I forget that stuff.
Okay, we'll tweet him and say, look who pays your bills, kid. Not a Giants fan, not a Dodgers fan.
Steel trap. Exactly. So, I'm with you. How excited are you about the draft? Because your Dolphins are going to be heavily involved in it.
I'm very excited. It's weird because they played so we talked about it on this show so many times. When they went from Rosen to Fitzpatrick, they were going to win football games. They decided to just say screw the top pick, which I'm okay with because I like what Flores did. He installed a desire to win, like a competitive nature in that clubhouse that I really, really like to see, that locker room that I really like to see. I'm excited. I'm worried. Like, I want to get your opinion as the college guru that you are. Majority of the mock drafts, like all but like two, have them still taking Tua if they're like their fifth now. They still have them taking Tua with their first pick, and then they get either an O lineman or a D lineman with their other two picks, which I'm good with. Like, part of me wants them just to get all linemen and maybe some skill positions, and then go and then re-sign Fitzpatrick and go get Herbert the next year or something, or not Herbert, Lawrence the next year. But what's your thoughts on this? Because I've seen Tua going to them everywhere. Like, I'm excited they have a lot of picks, but they can't screw this up.
Well, the rumor is that they have, since last season, been obsessed with Tua. Like, they sent scouts all of the stuff. They're very excited about him coming out. But the nice thing that we don't have to worry about this second is that he's not announcing what he's doing until Monday, and the thought process is that he's coming back. A lot of the guys
are how long he's waiting.
Right. A lot of the guys are going back and unfinished business, and you know this because I know you were tweeting a lot during the Alabama bowl game. saw some of that interaction there. you know this.
You don't say.
Bama has some unfinished business because they weren't playing in the playoff this year, and they want to win. So I think that desire for those guys, I mean, you know, he still has the Lloyd's of London insurance policy to fall back on. And plus, Tua is going to be a star on television after his stuff on, you know, in the league anyway. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to be Peyton Manning or anything, but he's, you know, a clean cut dude with no issues who is a great team leader. Those guys usually do pretty good on TV. So yeah,
Tim Tebow 101 right there.
Well, folks. I mean, you know, Tim Tebow without the I don't know how
to say it. The circumcision of kids in a foreign country.
How about the preachiness? How about we say that? Go. So
let me ask you this on Tua. So you really do think he's coming back? Because I don't blame him. There's the concern of getting injured again, obviously, but that can happen anywhere. The other concern I have is Alabama's got so many guys. Like, his brother's there, and you got other quarterbacks there that need to play.
Matt Jones is good. Yeah.
Matt Jones is very good. Or they have to get the move guy. They can't hold all these guys there. We've seen, like, look at Burrow left Ohio State and got a Heisman. Like, we've seen it happen a few times, obviously. So do you think Tua really comes back in that whole situation?
Yeah, dude, I think he does. And I think he wants to play at Bama. I mean, he had offers for tons of places.
Your opinion. That's why I'm asking. Really,
I think he wants to play there. I know it makes more sense to go get your money. But also, if he's going to fall to the back end of the first in a, you know, maybe a situation that he doesn't like or whatever. Maybe he doesn't want to play for Miami and he knows Miami's obsessed with him. I don't think that's the case. I don't think he really cares. I think the dude just wants to go back because he doesn't like the way his career ended at Alabama. And I think that
I agree with that.
I think that him going back to Alabama, you know, he doesn't have to win a national title, but get Bama to the playoffs and stay healthy for the full year makes him that 1-2 pick with Trevor Lawrence in the 2021 draft. So,
okay, well, if Tua, I know I keep ramrodding the show now.
No, but you're good. Go ahead.
If Tua goes back, which I don't disagree with, I think it makes sense. It just kind of, I've seen every angle of the argument for this. If Tua goes back and all the mocks had Tua going to Miami as a Dolphins fan here, I still get worried they're going to take a quarterback early. What's your thoughts on Herbert? Because I've seen him as the other option, and I am not sold on Herbert. I know a lot of people are, but I the Pac-12 doesn't do it for me the same way Mitch Trubisky and the ACC didn't do it for me.
Well, Mitch Trubisky was way different case. He started, I think a season and a half coming into the pros. Herbert has been a starter since 2016. So he's been around for a long time. So I am not, the people that like Herbert, I think he's going to do better with NFL talent. He's got to land in the right situation. But I don't think the Dolphins, unless it's Tua, I think they're obsessed with him. So I don't think that they're drafting anybody else but Tua at the quarterback position, because they can re-sign Fitzpatrick and they traded for Rosen. So they have a young guy there. So unless it's the, you know, Goldilocks scenario where they're sitting at, I don't even have it pulled up. What do they pick? 3 or 4?
Five.
Okay. So if they're sitting at 5 or their second pick, because I know they have the Steelers pick as well, and then they have the, who's the other one they have? I know they have 3 first round picks. They got another.
Your guys is? It's give or take 15, 16 and like 22, 23, something like that.
Right. So if they're sitting in one of those scenarios where Tua comes out, he falls to them. It's like I said, it's the Goldilocks scenario where it's perfect and it comes out. Other than that, there are too many skill position players in this draft for you to pass them up. So
I'd rather take Judy and some or there's a ton of wide receivers or running backs. Like, there's so many ways to go about it.
I mean, you're going to have to hope that Judy falls to 5 because he's really good.
Imagine Judy was Fitzpatrick just throwing wherever he wanted to.
Right. I mean, Judy's incredible, and he's going to be a top 10 pick, I would think, immediately. But I mean, we've already run out the first segment here, Bubba. We got to take a break.
Go Dolphins.
Go Dolphins. And we'll be right back after this, and we will be talking a little more football and then get into some baseball as well. Stick with us.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon. We'll be right back.
everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull? Hey.
Welcome back. It's the final hour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Find me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Find all of our In This League stuff wherever you have your podcast. Just type in This League. All of our stuff should pop up. We've got college football. We've got regular NFL. We've got baseball coming up. We are firing up the normal show on the 6th. So on Monday, we are back at it, two shows a week for the foreseeable future for baseball. We've got basketball, of course, is in midseason. We're covering that. Jonathan Isaac, unfortunately, hurt. We talked a little bit about that before it came down that he's out 8 to 10 weeks. We're like, oh, man, we had a great breath of fresh air because he's going to be fine. And then, of course, no, 8 to 10 weeks and then a reeval. But I digress. I am here with my friend, Casey Bubba, who is also a podcaster. Casey, tell everyone about all of the podcasts they can find that you do and find you on Twitter at BDEntric.
Yeah, all the stuff and things are always over at BDEntric on Twitter. You'll see them all there. Bench with Bubba is my forte, my go-to, my pride and joy. We're back to two episodes a week, at least two baseball episodes this week. Yesterday, I had Derek Boyd from Baseball HQ on. I had SP Streamer on earlier this week. Lots of great stuff talking, you know, NFBC, ADPs, players, all kinds of cool stuff to get you ready for your fantasy baseball season. We're going to have the Fantrax DFS show. We have the NFL Wildcard Weekend broken down for you over there. I did a solo pod this week, about 20 minutes long. It's kind of like the MLB DFS Quick Hits, which I do for baseball season. And golf is back with the Always Pressing podcast. So much stuff and things. And you can find it over at Twitter, at BDEntric. I retweet, and retweet it some more all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you are a great follow. I don't think people understand how sarcastic you are or snarky.
No, on occasion. Some don't. Some really don't.
Yeah, I mean, some people just need to get it together, but you are a funny-ass follow. And before I even knew you, I'm like, this dude is funny. So
that's why we get along so well, Boggs. That's why we get along so well.
Absolutely. Like
if people only knew what we talked about off the air.
I mean, hopefully they don't. We would easily be canceled, but
true.
Can't say everything. I actually just had a thought that I can't say on the show. So remind me during the break and I will fill you in, but I can't say it here. But let's talk about this wild card weekend. We talked a little bit about some draft stuff, and I will have draft pods coming up at the end of the month. I wait until after the Senior Bowl and all that stuff to really dive in. But we've got the Shrine Game coming up, the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, and of course the Senior Bowl as well, and then the Combine, and then the interviews, and then free agency. So there will be football shows coming up for me, specifically diving in on a bunch of these prospects. But we've got playoff football this weekend, and don't think we're not going to pick these games. Welsh and I already did, so this is all about you. The first game, which is probably already going right now as this is airing, but Buffalo at Houston. Houston is a 2.5-point favorite. The over is 44 in this game. How do you see this playoff game panning out here, Bubba?
It's weird, but I really like Buffalo in this game. I really, really like Buffalo in this game. I tweeted out earlier this week, I think 3 of the 4 road teams can win this week. No. This is one of the ones I like a lot, though. I really like Buffalo, and I like the over. The Houston defense is pretty beat up. Buffalo's defense is good, but Houston at home, I'll give them some chances here. I got Buffalo like 24-21 getting that road W.
Okay, I went with Houston. I think experience is a big thing here. They're at home.
That's true.
J.J. Watt's coming back. J.J.
Watt. Oh, come on. He's like one and a half tits out there right now.
Oh, come on. He's good. I don't care.
On Wisconsin.
I'll take 50% of J.J. Watt over starting defensive lineman most of the time because he's just tenacious. And look, we've got the family over in Pittsburgh. We've got T.J. who's...
Now it makes sense.
Dude, T.J. is good. He's really, really good.
Did you see when PFF graded T.J. over J.J. and they had a little Twitter beef about it?
No, I didn't. I know that because I follow both of them on Instagram that T.J. is at J.J.'s. He's staying at J.J.'s... so we can go watch the game on Saturday. So, they're always together. All those Watt brothers are always together. But I've got props here for you in this game. Devin Singletary rush yards against that tough Houston front with J.J. coming back. I've got him at 65 yards. You think he can go over that or going to go under?
Yeah, I really like Devin Singletary this week to go way over that 65. He's been a focal point of the rushing game. We've seen him get 15-plus, 20-plus carries time and time again. They sat him last week for a reason. Give me over 65 rushing yards for Singletary.
Trey White on DeAndre Hopkins. I put his catches at 7. Going to be an intricate part of this offense. They really need him to catch the ball. What do you think about Hopkins' catches, 7 or fewer?
Way over. He's the Michael Thomas light this week. They're going to have to feed him to stay in this game. So DeAndre Hopkins way over 7.
J.J. Watt sacks. I've got him at 1.
No wonder you talked him up so much.
One. Just one? You think he can get to your boy Josh Allen once?
Well, the thing is, Josh Allen scrambles so much, he creates sacks. So I'm going to take over because it's J.J. Watt, but it's by a push.
Okay, I mean, the over's fine. I think we'll get there. The second game of this weekend that's probably going on as this is airing, New England is a 5-point favorite with a 44.5 over hosting Tennessee. And you know what? Before I give my opinion to you, I'll let you suss this out. How do you see this game playing out?
This game has killed me all week because I love Tennessee in this game because I think New England's dead. I really do. Mm. But at the same time, it's New England at home, playoff game, Tannehill's first playoff game ever, going into Foxborough Saturday night. Like, everything is a recipe for disaster for Tennessee. But Vrabel's still there. That's big for me. I'm going Tennessee covers, the +5, and I'm going to go the over because this New England defense is good, but has not been the same late in the season.
Okay, so I took New England in the under, and I know you're not surprised by that.
No, but New England, if you look at Vegas numbers, so many people are saying New England's the play. I'll be honest, New England's the play.
Right, and this is what I said to Welsh, because everybody wants to take Tennessee, right? But we saw in the playoffs that experience last year matters, and we saw two of the most explosive teams in the NFL last year were the Chiefs and Rams. Who beat those teams? The Patriots. Yeah,
the Patriots.
And Tennessee, one of the most explosive offensive teams in the league this year. I think New England's going to have a way tougher time going into Kansas City and beating them with the way they're specifically Kansas City's defense has been playing on the back half of the season. I would say they're still not fantastic, but the way New England has been playing and the way Kansas City has been playing, I'm probably going to side on the Chiefs next week when these two teams meet. If they are done, though, Tennessee will beat them and beat them down.
Yep, exactly.
I don't think that'll be – we'll know, and I think we'll know by halftime what New England team this is. Is this a dead New England team, or is this a, okay, well, nope, it's 10-3, and we know that New England has a 10 and Tennessee has a 3, and they'll be lucky to get 3 more for the rest of the game. So it's going to be a fun game to watch on a Saturday evening. I put Ryan Tannehill's pass yards at 250. Do you think he hits that?
If I'm picking Tennessee, yes. It's one of those, like, if you're picking New England, it's no. But if you're picking Tennessee, you have to say yes.
Now, I think the big question that's on everyone's mind is, will you be wearing the Ryan Tannehill jersey during this game?
Well, now that you mentioned it, I might need to just for shits and giggles because I'll have to see if it still fits my big rear end, to tell you the truth. But I might have to throw it on just for fun because I hate New England so much.
Yeah, I figured you would be wearing that. So we will see, of course. I expect a tweet if you are. Sony Michel rush yards, I put it 70 against the tough New England front or tough Tennessee front. What do you think?
Under. It's the James White Burkhead show.
Yeah.
Playoff times, boys and girls, playoff times.
Oh, God. Yeah, James White, obviously better. But Burkhead had...
shows up.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, just pick a running back, New England. Oh,
trust me, I'm the guy that drafts James White every season in fantasy, and at the end of the year, I cry.
Right.
Because he's the best one of the three, and it still doesn't matter.
How do you think Deion Lewis is doing in this game, Bubba? You think he's good, too?
I don't want to talk. Oh, we're going to go all the way back there, huh? You going to bring up Will Fuller next, too? What are you going to do?
Will Fuller's good when he's on the field. He's always hurt.
He's always hurt.
Will Fuller is the Steven Strasburg of the NFL. Oh, he's constantly hurt.
He might be worse than Strasburg. We'll go with that for now.
At least Strasburg completed a season last year.
Exactly. He finally gave us one good year.
A.J. Brown catches. I put it at 4 because he's going up against probably the best CB in the NFL and Stephon Gilmore, who allowed, I think I saw the PFF stat the other day, 16 catches on the entire season and led the league in picks. So A.J. Brown catches. I'm going to put it at 4.
Yeah, Gilmore's very good. I don't know if anybody knows what Parker did last week. Just throwing that out there. Devontae just shredded Gilmore to pieces, put him in his early casket. But this is a new game. So A.J. Brown's a freak. I'd imagine when you look at Bill Belichick, he picks one guy to take out. I imagine he wants to either take out Brown or Henry. I'm going to go over 4 because I think they're going to have Brown to be competitive in this game.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to do something, right? Yeah. I think Derrick Henry could run it down the throat. It's supposed to be decent weather there, though.
Yeah, so. not normal late year weather, playoff weather.
Right, exactly. So we'll see how that one pans out. Going over the Sunday games, we start our day off, us West Coasters do, with Minnesota at New Orleans. New Orleans is a 7.5-point favorite. And the over is, actually, let me see if that changed. Yeah, it did change. New Orleans by 8 and 49 is the over.
I'm going to go Minnesota and the over in this one. New Orleans does their thing, but Minnesota keeps it close.
I went opposite on the pick again. I took New Orleans and the over. Welsh took Minnesota and the over. I picked New Orleans because of a couple factors. Number one, we got Drew Brees versus Kirk Cousins in the QB factor here. And New Orleans at home with the refs probably giving them all the calls in this game. I think a couple things could break right for the Saints. So I'm going with the Saints in this one. But Minnesota is a dangerous team. Dalvin Cook total yards, I put it at 100 for him.
I'm going over. He's between the running game and the passing game. They've rested him this long for a reason. He's going to be very, very vital in them trying to make this a football game.
Drew Brees pass yards, they put at 300.
Under.
Michael Thomas catches at 10.
Yeah, over. He just does it every week. He's facing. I can't blanking on the name all of a sudden.
Xavier Rhodes.
I saw someone tweet out. I always forget who tweets things, and I apologize. But Thomas had like a catch rate of like 82% on the year, and Xavier Rhodes gave up a catch rate close to 81% on the year. So Michael Thomas is going to feast.
Yeah, it's really, really not a good matchup for the Vikings. And that's another reason I specifically think. And Alvin Kamara has really started to turn it on the back half of the year, too. I just feel like this is a breakout game for the, just put the Saints on the map as real contenders. Everyone is picking them. No one is picking the Packers and Patriots. I mentioned that to the Welsh. No one's picking the Packers and Patriots, and it bothers me. I'm not going to pick them either. Suck. Well, then
the Packers are overrated, like way overrated.
They still have they got 2 wins to get to the Super Bowl. That's
it. I don't care.
Look, I don't think they're going to do it either, but I just can't believe that nobody's picking them.
I agree with what you're saying, but and I'm usually a Mister. I want to be against the grain, but I can't do it with the Packers.
Yeah,
the Patriots. I will buy the Patriots before I buy the Packers.
Yeah, me too. So I will too. The last game of the weekend. Probably the one that's the most up in the air as far as what people are picking. Seattle at Philly. Seattle is a 2-point favorite, and 46 is the over in this one. How do you see this game playing out?
I'm going to take the chalk. I'm taking Seattle, but don't sleep on Philly. They're sneaky in this game, very sneaky in this game. But I want Seattle on the over. I think it's a shootout, a massive shootout. Neither team's defense is going to – like, obviously Philadelphia secondary sucks. Seattle's been shown they can be thrown on. I think it's a sneaky good over game.
If this is a shootout, man, it kind of – like, what is worse, the passing game in Seattle right now or the passing defense in Philly? If this game is a shootout, so
that's the thing is it's the best of both worlds and the worst of both worlds at the same time.
It's really, to me, the worst of both worlds. I feel like it's they're both not great. Marshawn Lynch rush yards. I'm going to put it at 65. I think they're going to feed him the rock here, at least to keep the balance. He may be running into the teeth of the defense. It's the thing that Philly does the best on D is stop the run. So I'm going to put it at 65, running into the teeth of that Philly defense, at least to keep them off balance. What do you think of the rush yards for Lynch in this one?
I see your opinion and I get it. Homer got a handful of touches last week too. I'm gonna take the under. I still like, I know they signed him for a reason, but I just can't completely buy into it just yet.
I like Travis Homer as kind of more of a scat back, you know. Yeah, passing option, of course. Huge on special teams. Travis Homer's a fantastic special teams player, and he was at Miami as well. So he's a fun player to watch, but I think the grind it out, run it up the gut, you know, too bad they had that penalty against the Niners, or else they might have been sitting at the two seed because they missed. I mean, what a game that was, by the way.
That was amazing. We could be talking Niners-Philly right now.
Oh, God. Well,
imagine that one.
What would the line be? I think it'd be the Niners by 12.
No, I'd have like 5.5.
I bet it's way more than that if the Niners.
Everyone's hating on Philly and their passing situation, and I get it, but look how good Wentz has been.
Yeah, Wentz has been great.
Like, Wentz is like my favorite DFS quarterback of the week.
But once again, I think in a game like this, you got to go playoff experience. And yes, the Eagles did.
Playoff experience as the Niners have.
Well, okay. But just as much as Wentz does. So Wentz missed the big run to the Super Bowl. Remember, he was out. So
I agree. But I'm just saying, if we're going to go experience, the Niners don't have any.
No, well, Jimmy G was in the locker room for a lot of those Patriots runs.
He was holding Tom Brady's jockstrap.
He was. Well, look, it's better than holding Nick Foles' jockstrap, is all I'm saying. Miles Sanders, Miles Sanders' total yards, I put it at 100 for him.
Under Bart Scott season.
Boston Scott season.
Boston Scott, yes. My bad.
Can't wait.
The second I said it, I knew it.
I put Russell Wilson pass yards at 300 against this Philly secondary.
Against this secondary, I don't think Lynch is going to run a lot. I think Russell Wilson goes over here. DK Metcalf, massive week.
Yeah, I mean, look, fingers crossed. I don't honestly care who wins that game because I think whoever does is just going to get their ass kicked the following week. So we'll against the Niners. I think Seattle versus San Francisco part three would be a lot of fun to watch, though. But that is going to put a bow on segment two. We will be right back to talk some baseball. I know Bubba is excited, and we're going to start out talking about the Diamondbacks like the Welsh and I did. That should make you less excited. But we're going to be right back after this break. Stick with us. We're going to end out the hour with some baseball.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends. friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of In This League on Sports Grid. Get on the grid. It's endless love time. You guys know that means it is all coming to an end here. But not before we talk about some baseball with Casey Bubba. And you are, you're a football guy for sure. I mean, we just talked about your amazing week 17 you had on your picks. But I feel like in your heart of hearts, all the way down at the bottom, you know, like my heart that's clogged with Whataburger, you are a baseball guy through and through. Am I correct on that?
Yes, baseball is my passion, will always be my passion. It's my number one, two, and three. I love football, and I will give you the best knowledge I have in football as I dig into it often weekly for many things I do. But baseball is my passion. I've been working on baseball for a while. I'm a part of the Black Book this season. Mm-hmm. I do my Bench with Bubba podcast, my DFS shows. I do the Quant Edge. I do a ton more baseball stuff because I love baseball more than anything.
Now, will you autograph my copy of the Black Book?
Yeah, I figured you'd rather have my autograph than the Welsh's. So if you want one, I will send you that instead. And you can just use the Welsh's as Charmin if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean.
Or I can come and sign it so you have two autographs on one when I see you at the end of the month.
You know, yeah, that's probably what I'll do.
It'll be worth more.
Yeah, and then I'll send it to Joe and then to everyone else that is involved. All of the great writers. Our guy Eric Cross over at Fantrax is in there, too. I don't know who else is in there because I didn't work on this one.
Nate Dawkin, Ariel Cohen, Alex Chamberlain.
Spore, of course.
Spore. I always forget people. I feel like a freaking
Seeley in there? Person. Is Seeley doing the baseball one, too?
I don't believe he is this year. I've seen some posts that have yes, some that have no. I haven't seen my hard copy yet, so I'm not 100%. But, you know, I heard them giving you a hard time for that. Did you remind the Welsh how much you wrote for the football Black Book while he sat on his thumb?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I asked him earlier in the show. I'm like, what was your word count? And yes, and he was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I bet it was probably closer than he thinks. But yeah, I did. I sent it to Joe. I'm like, it's probably too much. And he's like, well, I had to make the font smaller to fit it within 30 pages. But we got it. So
I laughed like I don't want to. Again, I keep stealing the show from you. But I laughed when the Welsh mentioned, and he pointed it to you, too. When you send him the stuff, he tells you how great it is. But and he gives you a couple recommendations on things. Yeah, I got that both times. Like I was all excited. Oh, he thinks it's great. Oh, wait, I got to work on this, this, and this. Okay, gotcha. That's cool.
See, I didn't get that because I think he just saw the sheer volume of mine and went, screw it. We'll just put it in. I don't care if it's bad.
I don't even want to edit this. Right. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Right. Just put it in. It's fine. Whatever. That's okay. We'll just go with that. So that's probably what happened with my stuff. It was so much. And I also, like Welsh, submitted it like the last possible day that you can because smart, I was writing so much stuff. So
I wrote a lot, and I sent mine at the beginning of December. So
you did catchers, yeah. And what else?
Relievers.
Relievers. Okay.
I did 52 relievers and like 38 catchers.
All right. Well, let's start out with the relievers then, because I want to know, you know, we're you know, slated to do the entire NL West on this show. But, you know, like you and I getting caught on tangents, the Welsh and I also did. So we'll probably just wind up doing, you know, maybe you and I will do the Diamondbacks and maybe one other team. But looking at the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mentioned this with Welsh, where I think that, you know, Archie Bradley is probably going to be the closer for the Diamondbacks, even though they're a hard team to nail down a closer pick with because of the stuff that they like to do on the back end. You know, Torey Lovullo really likes to mix it up back there, and he liked to use Archie in high leverage situations last year until he started to suck, and then he used other guys at that and just had Archie close games. And I think that signing Junior Guerra means that Junior Guerra is going to get those high leverage situations, maybe even Yoan Lopez, and Archie is just going to get the saves, and he's going to be throwing 91 down the pipe. If you listen to me with Justin Mason on Friends with Fantasy Benefits, I had some choice words about my fandom of Archie Bradley. But what do you think about that? Because you just wrote up relievers. So do you think Bradley is going to be the closer? Are you nervous about him potentially not closing games? What do you think of this situation here?
Yeah, I think Archie's the guy. I'm with you. What we saw towards the end of last year, I think carries over. It felt like, and you obviously know way more with your pulse on the Diamondbacks world, that it felt like early on, and we're seeing it with Lovullo and others, you want to use the best pitcher in the high leverage spots. So it made sense to use Archie. At the same time, they were using Archie in non-save chances because If they didn't, they'd have to pay him more in arbitration. And that's just, we've seen that with other teams also. And so it's kind of a business decision meets let's do what's best for the team decision. And as you know, for the Diamondbacks, a lot of things are business decision related as they started to expand before going into this year where they made some moves with what we'll talk about. I think Archie steps in as the closer. He's only got 1 year of option left, so they can kind of play that game a little more. I agree, bringing Junior Guerra in helps a lot. I think Kevin Ginkle, I might have pronounced that wrong.
No, that's right.
I think he's an interesting later end option also, if like you're in deep, deep leagues or whatever. Super talented arm coming out of the minors. And I think he could kind of sneak into some usage. But Archie, it should be Archie's job. Still young, still super talented. We saw how good he could be once he started closing. I'm not saying he's one of like, we could do a whole reliever podcast some other time.
Let's
not. Where there's the different levels like, of, you know, you want these guys, and then who knows. Archie's not like in the elite tier, but he's in a very good tier where you should get a ton of good options there. So I think he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. I'm less hyped on Archie. I haven't liked Archie for a while. You probably know why.
Yes, you're a big Archie fan, I know.
If you don't know why that I wasn't hyped on Archie from the beginning, is because he picked baseball over football. And do you know where he was going to go?
I'm guessing Texas.
Oklahoma. He was going to go to Oklahoma. He's a huge Oklahoma fan. So it's always OU this and OU that crap all on him. Plus,
boomer.
Plus, he hasn't been very good. So I can't. He drives me nuts. But to be honest, it wouldn't matter what relief pitcher is back there. Every single fan of every single team loves to whine and complain about their relievers because relievers suck. Why did they suck? Because they're starters that didn't work out. Almost every reliever.
100%.
Barely. Like, I think Houston Street was the only guy that came out of college as a reliever and went right to the bigs as a reliever. Like, there was no starting options with him. Maybe Drew Storen was another one of those guys. I don't remember. There's not too many guys coming out and just, you know, having their lifelong thing be, oh, I want to be a closer. It's like a couple of those guys and then everyone who plays MLB The Show, because that's the quickest way to get through a season is to be a closer in your road to the show. I don't know. I've seen him keep falling and I've had to snap him up, and I don't want him on my teams because he annoys me already, but he's been falling too far. Looking at NFBC data right now, he's going off around 185 overall. So I think that's a pretty decent deal for a guy that's going to be potentially a high end closer, because I think the D-backs are an over 500 team this year. Yeah. But looking at the lineup, Marte, Peralta, Escobar, Walker, Cole Calhoun, Nick Ahmed, Jake Lamb, and Carson Kelly. Of course, the order of this, Marte is he's going 44 overall in NFBC drafts right now, but there's some deals in here. I like Eduardo going post 100. My favorite deal is Peralta going in the 270s. Who do you like on the Diamondbacks as far as fantasy goes?
Peralta is always a guy that I just like buy into as being a real big fan of, because if healthy, he can do a lot of damage for a lot of parts of your offense. Batting average wise, very good, a little bit of pop and all that good stuff. A guy I love. Well, before I get to him, Cole Calhoun can be sneaky nice with the D-backs, and he is like free. If you look at NFB ADP also, he's going at pick, not Willie Calhoun, Cole Calhoun is going about pick 350.
He's not even the first Calhoun going.
Yeah, that's what I said. Willie Calhoun, not him. But Cole Calhoun can be interesting. But the guy I like, if you're looking for a later round first baseman, corner infielder, Christian Walker, pick 206. I say this too much on your show. I can't remember who tweeted it out. But they were talking with me in a back and forth because I wrote up my first base primer at Fantasy Sports Degens, and Christian Walker was kind of my sleeper first baseman this year. And I wrote about his, you know, his Statcast numbers, his hard hit rates, all these things you love. He showed some, you know, problems at the plate that young guys show, but also showed improvements as time as the season went on. And when you look at his Statcast numbers and you compare them to a certain first baseman in St. Louis, mm-mm, they are almost identical.
Right. Yeah. And
Walker's sneaky good this year.
Look, I think Walker is a great deal too. And I mentioned that on the show with Justin Mason on Friends with Fantasy Benefits, because he had some concerns about potentially Kevin Cron.
Play third base.
That's what I said. I said no, and I don't even know how much time. Look, if the D-backs bring in another outfielder, Marte is going to move to second. Escobar is going to go to third, and all those guys are screwed. Jake Lamb and Cron. Cron will probably, to be honest, will probably start the year in the minors if they bring in someone else. So I'm not a huge Kevin Cron fan, but the Welsh talks about Seth Beer. And I know the Welsh is a prospect guy, and he loves a prospect. But when he talked to him in an interview, like, he only lost one interview recording these guys at the stadium, which is surprising because I've lost more than that sitting on my ass recording with you. Right. Yeah. So it's the only one that he's ever lost, but he had an interview with Seth Beer, and he asked Seth Beer, like, they got you playing outfield, they got you playing first, and he's like, no, the Diamondbacks specifically only want me to play first. So Seth Beer is a great prospect. He's 23 years old. If he has a big season in the minor leagues and Walker struggles even a little bit, I think that Seth Beer could be coming up and potentially splitting time with Walker at first. So it's a little tiny concern at this point, but I'm with you. I don't expect Walker to struggle that much. So I've been snapping him up in drafts as well. I think he's a great value going off at, post 200 right now on the NFBC, and first base is thin at this point. Yes. So
the way I look at first base is it's top heavy, and then there's depth, but it's not sexy depth, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. It's, no, 100%.
And Seth Beer is interesting because he was part of the Greinke trade, and he's a high prospect, so they wanted him for a reason. Before we leave this lineup, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Another position I wrote up in our catcher's primer. I love Carson Kelly. I talked about him on Mets with Bubba 232 with Derek Boyd. That Carson Kelly, he had 18 home runs last year, and I think he's sneaky good, and I know he's your guys' Uber driver.
That's Andy Young.
Okay.
Not Carson Kelly.
Oh, sorry. But I know you guys weren't huge on him. I know that much. I know you're a suspect. But he played very well, and I think there's more to come with him. They have him batting eighth, which is kind of disappointing to me on roster resource. Obviously, that can change. But I think he's a very good, and he's after 200 as well.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. Look, he had gotten up to the bigs and was crappy. And that's why I was like, why are we trading for this guy? And he's a huge prospect. But I was thinking, okay, he's going to be a defensive guy with a little bit of pop in his bat, and that was it. But he hit, 245, and he didn't hit 245 most of the year. He kind of had a fade in the second half, and his OBP was still close to 350 at 348. So I like Carson Kelly a lot. Like you said, I'm a little disappointed that he's probably going to be hitting eight, and he probably will be hitting eight. But you can do much worse at catcher, especially if you're waiting on catcher and you just want some loser in there so you don't have to worry about it. I think Carson Kelly is that loser.
I'd rather have Carson Kelly than Buster Posey. This is the Giants fan talking to you.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, like I said, you just want a guy that you can put
stop
in there.
Stop it. Do not finish that sentence.
And know he's going to play.
He's the big L word there, and I was going to get very offended.
No. I'm not going to call a former MVP a loser. I can't do that. So,
there's a lot of Cardinals fans that do. That's what I was wondering.
I was obsessed with Buster Posey. So I had many, many dynasty leagues with shares of Buster Posey. So I'm a huge fan in him, and I always thought that Goldie would wind up on the Giants because him and Buster Posey are such huge fans. So are such good friends. So I was always nervous about that. Much rather have him on the Cardinals and not on a division foe. But speaking of division foes, Madison Bumgarner signs with my Diamondbacks, and the rest of this rotation looks like it's Bumgarner, it's Leake, Ray, Weaver, and Gallen and Kelly will probably compete for a spot. I'm assuming Gallen's going to win that because he is the better pitcher. Roster Resource has him starting in the minors, which he probably just has more options. Kelly has three options. So I think it's going to end up being Gallen. And Gallen is going off the board much higher as well. He's the fourth Diamondback coming off the board after Marte, Escobar, Bumgarner. But, we're running a little short on time here, but what do you think about this rotation?
I think it's very good. Gallen needs to be in the rotation. He is so good. We saw what happened before he got traded when he was at the Marlins. When he got traded, how good he was at the D-backs. He's got to be there. I don't mind Kelly. I think he's a good back of the rotation guy. Bottom line is they got to trade Robbie Ray. That's what they have to do. And there's buying time there. Obviously, your finger's on the pulse much more than me. So they got to trade Robbie Ray. Mike Leake, he's an innings eater. Luke Weaver, I loved what we saw last year. He got banged up towards the end of last year. Hopefully he can bounce back this year, but there's potential there. There's a lot to like there. And then Mad Bum, it's not even Giants homerism. I still think there's a lot left in that tank. I really do. He's 30 years old. I said it last year. I banged the drum on it last year. He's more of a pitcher now than he is a thrower. He's smart enough to realize that to still compete. And he did that at points last year. He loves Arizona. He loves where he's at. I think he'll be just fine. The rotation's very good. They got to get Gallon in there one way or another. That usually means trading Robbie Ray.
Who is your favorite pick as far as where they're going? Is it Weaver because he's going off as the lowest, or do you like taking Bumgarner because he's a post 100 player that could be a, you know, upper echelon pitcher from the stuff that we've seen before? Do you like taking a risk on a young gun like Zach Gallen, or Robbie Ray is kind of sitting in the, you know, 150-ish range where that could be a decent value? Which one of the Diamondbacks pitchers, I guess, are you most likely to draft?
Bumgarner at 115 is interesting. Ray, if I know he's with the D-backs all year, I'm a big fan of it, but there's a lot of ifs there, and his control is always an issue. It's either Weaver just for the value or Gallen. I really, really like what Gallen has. If I had to pick just one, I'd probably pick Gallen for the value you're getting there. Because I don't like a lot of young guys, but what we've seen from Gallen is he's not like most young guys, if that makes sense.
And I said this to the Welsh. I think that Gallen's value and his ADP is going to come down as spring training ramps up. And I think we're going to hear Lavolo talk about competition, especially if Robbie Ray doesn't get traded before the season, which the Welsh and I kind of threw our hats in the ring. I don't think he gets traded before the beginning of the season. Welsh thinks he does. He has cropped up in some rumors, but not significantly. So I think that that's a potential to happen. But I think because we're going to hear about competition, that Gallen's going to drop a couple spots because you're going to just get people from that overall opinion of, well, if he's not going to start in the majors 100%, I'm not going to draft him. But that's all the time we have for today. I hope you guys have enjoyed In This League on the Sports Grid. Remember, you can follow us on the Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at Is It The Welsh, at BD Entrick. And we will be back next week to talk the rest of the NL West. We will get the Giants in for Casey. We'll get the Rockies. We'll even hit the Dodgers and the Padres next week. But that is it for us. Good luck in all your bets this weekend, and take it easy, everybody. We'll see you.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.